Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show. It's brought to you along with Levi Solicitors, who will do you that 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan Moylan, Michael Normanson, and Rob Conlon with you on the World Cup Diaries. Quick mention for TSB Plus, where if you're not keeping up with the real FIFA World Cup or you've had your fill of it, get over to the World Butter Cup, our own knockout tournament. We've broken Adam Pope, essentially, haven't we, of BBC Radio Leeds.
He was very confused. Yeah. He didn't fully know what was going on until he arrived, did he? So it was good fun, though. I enjoyed it a lot.
And he enjoyed laughing at Rod Hull as a concept when we discussed that.
Yeah, laughing at the death of Rod Hull. Let's be honest.
I think I walked in to the office mid-record of that and just heard Adam Pope laughing about whether Andy Robinson had shat himself.
These are the big questions anyway.
Yeah, we're settling it based on random categories. It's nonsense. It's a bit of light, fluffy nonsense. And you can find that over on the Extra Ball video on the website as well. thesquareball.net/plus if you want to have a look at that. Same place as well on the website for merch. Christmas merch, mugs back in stock now. We've had a restock of the Bielsa stuff, which is the most popular stuff we do.
You've got a hoodie on.
Yep.
Those are in stock. Those are for sale.
This is the original first run, though.
Then these are exactly the same.
Yeah. Are they? It's just a newer batch.
Yeah, yeah. But they've got the calendar as well, if you're on the video.
Yeah.
Look at that. Whoa.
Charity. That's the charity calendar. All the profits of which are going to the Leeds Cancer Centre. You can find that on the website as well. Just go to thesquareball.net/. Just have a look at the shop. World Cup.
Yeah.
We are doing the World Cup diary. That's still going on.
Yeah, they're persisting with it, aren't they?
They are. Group G and H was the second round of fixtures was wrapped up on Monday, which was the last time we recorded, wasn't it? That was ahead of the Group A and B settlers. So we're now onto the deciders. Headlines from that, basically, England dominating Wales and winning comfortably in the end, and the USA beating Iran in what was a very low-key fixture politically. And it all got a bit scary, did that game towards the end. It was very Leedsy because I flicked over from the England-Wales game when that was clearly petering out, and I watched because the injury time in that USA-Iran game ran quite long, didn't it? It was like 9 or 10 minutes or something. And the USA, as soon as I flicked over, immediately transformed into Leeds United, 1-0 up and hanging on by the fingernails.
I am loving all the injury time in this World Cup, I have to say. I really just hope they bring it in. It solves so many problems to just actually add time on where people have wasted it.
It would transform the games, certain number of games at Elland Road this year, wouldn't it?
It would. Every Wolves game would just be going, an Everton game would just be going on for...
forever.
Like 200 minutes, just a never-ending game of football with... And they seem to be added on time in injury time as well, is something I've noticed as well. So they'll put 9 minutes up, but then if people time-wasted injury time, they play another two.
Yeah, which is what they should do.
It's exactly what they should do. It just completely solves the problem.
That was the Athletic piece after the USA game was about the stoppage time called 9 minutes 53 or something, and they're all going, well, it's got to be up now, but he was still adding on time from the goalkeeper delaying tactics. But yeah, it's good. I think part of that piece as well was just about how great Tyler Adams is and that he's just carrying all their hopes, basically, and that... every time they were losing the ball or it was getting deeper and deeper into their half, it was just Tyler Adams making tackles, making interceptions, and the bench just going crazy for it.
Did you see the little piece with his mum and his stepdad that did the rounds?
No, yeah. I've not seen it.
Oh, no, it's good. It was very emotive. His mum ended the clip in. It was like 2, 3, 4 minutes, whatever, and his mum ended the clip in tears. So, you know, it gets you right in the feels. So she's very proud of her boy. He's done really well. Loved soccer from a young age, that kind of vibe.
I saw the one of Aronson's family, his dad Rusty.
Rusty, yeah.
And he had a football pitch in his cellar, basically, did Brendan Aronson, which was quite good. There's some footage of him and his brothers, and well, his brother and then I think it must have been some mates all playing on like a really little pitch with like, and there's support poles in this thing. It looks like a health and safety nightmare, but yeah. He's reckoned that's where he learnt his kind of good close control and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, the anti-Fritzl approach.
Well, I was going to say, because the Athletic piece before the World Cup was all about how Brendan Aaronson was basically locked in a cellar by his dad. And I thought, this is a bit sinister, actually.
Yeah.
It looked like they were having fun in there anyway.
Good.
That's what I will say.
England, Wales, what did you make of it? Ended up as a routine win for you. It's funny, isn't it, that England being England, like, you should be so proud of your nation on the world stage, and I was, but I just found myself, my attention drifting away from that because it ended up quite an easy win in the end, really, wasn't it?
We had a little window into the Welsh side of it as well, because from the walk group, there's a couple of Welshmen in there, and they were bemoaning their performance at the World Cup and sort of saying how terrible they were and how they've not even given it a go. And
the sort of end of a generation feel about it as well, isn't there? Like with Bale and Ramsey, who are obviously not going to stick around too much longer.
Yeah.
So where do you go from here? They saw this as their sort of great hope, I guess.
It's too late from them, isn't it? That's the thing. Like Bale is basically useless now.
Yeah.
I think I said it before the game and then panicked that he was going to make us look stupid, but he was still rubbish. I mean, he did go off injured, so maybe that was hampering him. But he's just not
anymore. His old golf injury.
Well, that's the thing with him. If you take out Bale and Ramsey, who were genuinely brilliant players a while ago, it's a pretty thin squad, isn't it? It's, you know, they've got a League Two player on the bench. They've got Tyler Roberts and Dan James in there when he's fit anyway. There's not much in the way of quality there, is there? So I don't think they can necessarily have expected more, but I think it's just the England-Wales thing. There was maybe a hope it would be a bit more competitive than it was.
Do you think that Wales were, not a fault is not the right word, were they too much on the back foot is what I want to ask, or were England just that dominant, or were Wales sitting far too deep for a team that needed to go out there and win?
I think that's kind of Wales' thing though, isn't it? I mean, I don't know, I'm not an expert on Welsh football, but I think, like you say, when you have got a bit of a limited squad, it's kind of hard to then try and go toe-to-toe with an England team which is packed full of players that play at the top end of the Premier League. I mean, England were, I know the first half was pretty dreary, but England were good in the second half. And I mean, the more you see Bellingham, the more you think, oh Christ, he actually looks like a really good footballer. But yeah, the second half was fun for an England game. It feels like a very England World Cup in that after the first game it was, it's coming home, and then after the second game it was terrible, get Southgate out.
Chuck
this
it,
is a disgrace.
All in the bin.
And after the third game, it's like, oh, maybe it is coming home then again. I didn't like.
I meant to say that no one's been that good in this World Cup. I know France have had the moments, and Spain looked good in the first game, but then against Germany, it was.
You don't need to be
there.
In the groups, you don't need to be, do you? You just got to get out of them.
Yeah, I think we're maybe, I don't know. Are we too critical of England? I don't know.
People expect a lot from international football, I think, when actually a lot of it is kind of crap or disjointed. Mm-hmm. Or I think it was Southgate after the game. He was asked about kind of letting England off the leash, and he was just a bit like, well, there is no leash. Like, it's just, this is kind of a group of random footballers who don't play together very often, and we try and play good football, and sometimes it doesn't happen, and sometimes the opposition make it difficult. But when these good players do show their talent, it can be really good. Like, the second half was very good, I thought.
And we saw Calvin.
Yeah. Yeah. He got an assist.
He did. It does count. It was on a plate for him, wasn't it, really? That's what I'm saying. It was good to see Calvin, though.
It was nice.
I think because I've not seen him,
did you think,
in a Man City shirt, basically, I still kind of think he's out.
Yeah, did you kind of go, oh, that's nice to see Calvin. Oh, you bastard, you left us.
I think that about Ben White as well, though. He played for us like one season a couple of years ago. So, yeah, it's...
Imagine he's gone home now, hasn't he, for personal reasons?
Yes, I hope he's all right. Yeah. Anyway, whatever it is. But yeah, it was good to see Calvin. And I thought, I don't know, the way Declan Rice has played, is Calvin in with the chance of getting back in? I don't know. He's looked a bit running in treacle as Rice, I would say so far, but probably won't change it. I don't think you can drop Bellingham, probably, can you? The way he's started this.
Nah, but probably will. Group A then finished with Netherlands top, Senegal second, Ecuador in third, and Qatar bottom of the group, surprisingly.
That's a shame for him.
Ah, well.
Footballing powerhouse. That's what happens when you buy your way into a tournament you shouldn't be in.
Yeah, England, USA, Iran and Wales finishing in that order in Group B means that it's Netherlands, USA on Saturday, and then England, Senegal on Sunday, which should be entertaining, shouldn't it?
I do. I kind of want Tyler Adams to break Cody Gakpo just out of pure bitterness that if we can't enjoy him scoring goals, I think nobody should be able to. So go on, Tyler, do it for us.
I mean, he's been scoring against nobodies. What are they banging on about?
We're not signing him, are we?
No.
Absolutely zero possibility.
The fact it's even still a discussion is hilarious.
I think it's still a discussion because we like to take the piss out of how stupid it is. So, I mean, to openly turn around as an owner and go, yeah, well, we'll go back in for him in January. You don't even say, just don't say anything. Just stop talking, Andrea.
Give him a second chance. Because you know it's like with footballers as well. If they want to move, they'll try and force one, won't they? I know it doesn't always come off. if Gakpo had wanted to come the start of the season, he could have probably put some serious pressure on to get the move, but I think he went, nah.
I mean, yeah, ever since deadline day, there's basically been a few months of stories of Gakpo himself just saying, nah,
didn't want that.
But we're still Leeds or Southampton, you must be joking. So.
On to the Wednesday games then. That was Group C and D. So this is yesterday as we are recording, at Thursday at 11 o'clock. That got interesting for a bit. Now, I was out watching my daughter's pre-Christmas theatre group show, so I missed all the fun here.
What was it?
The show. Two groups. The younger group did Nativity, the musical. A review performance of that. And then the second half, the older group did Elf the Musical, which was fun.
Any good?
Awful. No, it was good. It was good.
Just like the other kids. Yeah. My daughter was good. Yeah. The rest of them, brilliant. I mean, amateurish.
She is a very good singer, by the way. So yeah, I missed all the fun in the Saudi Arabia-Mexico game, and that 95th minute goal by Saudi Arabia, ultimately meaningless, but that stopped it going down to almost basically toss of a coin, wasn't it? We got to fair play levels, and all it would have taken was a couple more bookings for it to go completely dead heat, and they would have had to flip a coin at FIFA HQ or whatever, which everybody would have thought was above board.
Poland were probably relieved they didn't have Mateusz Klich when they were looking at the fair play thing. I know, keep him away.
Oh, actually, yeah. in the Wales game, I want to give credit to Dan James, by the way, because Paddy Power did like a free £5 bet builder thing. We can add several things on. I cashed it out, but one of mine, the one with the longest odds, Dan James yellow card. I thought I've seen it many a time.
The dirty little scumbag.
He'll get there as quickly as he can, and he's going to boot someone. And sure enough, he did. And at that point, I was offered like £40 to cash out. I was like, yeah, fine. Cheers, Dan. I'll have that. So yeah, thank you, Dan James, for being predictable.
Well done. So yeah, Argentina ultimately progressed with Poland in second place. That was the big dramatic finish. Yeah.
Did we enjoy Argentina's penalty they were given?
Didn't see this. Oh, what happened?
Seen it. I saw it got saved.
Oh, it was. I'll talk about a Leeds event. Do you remember at the start of the season, the Wolves game, when Christensen went up for a header with the Wolves keeper who absolutely smashed into him? Mm-hmm. It was like that, except it was the slightest glove on Messi. But the VAR looked at it and decided it was a penalty.
Right, special rules.
So it was an interesting exercise in consistency.
Yes.
The penalties in this World Cup have been completely random, haven't they, it seems, with what they've looked at and gone. Like the first England game where they looked at that Maguire one, clearly, in the first few minutes where someone rugby tackled him, didn't give anything, and then there was then the Iran penalty later on they gave for something.
It's been, yeah.
For something that was far weaker.
It has been a bit bizarre, but I've quite liked the general state of the refereeing in this tournament, in the sense that, A, there's the timekeeping, which has been a lot, lot better. And so I want to see games going all night.
Just get your money's worth.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all. I think it's, as an entertainment product, it's only fair that you get to watch at least an hour of football.
But secondly, the distance, in terms of emotional distance between the referees and the players, has been that much greater, I think. Like in the Premier League, it always strikes me, because they've got the select group that do the Premier League fixtures. It's a small pool. The refereeing the same players, you know, a lot of weeks across the course of the season. I think it's all a bit too chummy and pally. I'd like to see a little bit of distance between players and refs. And I think you get it at the World Cup, where they're just not standing for the shit. Whereas I think they want to be mates in the Premier League.
Mm.
Might be just completely imagining that, but
yeah. Although I suppose the thing you complain about in the Premier League is kind of big player, big team bias, and then you get Messi being given a penalty for someone tickling him, and you think, well, does that just follow through in a slightly different way?
Yeah, I think the refereeing's been a lot better than the Premier League. I would say that as a general, if you had to throw a blanket over it, it's been better.
I'd say so. Yeah, I still don't like the use of VAR for penalties. I think that's been all over the place. Like the really soft one Ronaldo got as well was unforgivable. I don't see why that's...
Particularly because they're letting more go on the outfield, aren't they? So to see that given in the penalty area.
And again, the fact Ronaldo and Messi have both had probably the two softest penalties at the World Cup and were given to them too.
Yeah.
It does kind of make you think, is this a...
Well, wasn't it someone at FIFA that described Ronaldo as a genius for winning that penalty, like the way he engineered the contact? You think, no, he's a cheat.
It's a cheat. Although it was, did we enjoy him desperately trying to claim he'd scored a goal the other day anyway?
Yeah, that
was good.
Like Adidas came out and were like, nah, sorry.
I'd be so happy when, I mean, Messi too to an extent.
When they've gone.
Yes. Just because it's so fucking boring. Just them two all the time.
Being the Twitter weirdos as well.
Yeah, like I just want all that to go away. Yeah. Like people who are...
If the way Elon Musk's going, then Twitter might go away soon.
Well, that's true. People who appear to not support a team but support like Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Fucking weirdos.
I think we've spoken about it before, haven't we? Like there was some research, and I may be getting this wrong, it might have been goal.com or someone like that on 90 Minutes or whoever it was, commissioned some research, and I think they do it every year, just about football fan habits. And they're saying, yeah, the younger generation of fans and more global fans, not us legacy fans, do tend to latch on to individual players rather than teams, so they see individual superstars.
It's fine to like players. I completely get that. Like, I've never supported any of the teams that Messi plays for, but I've regularly loved watching him do stuff. But I don't...
But it's in a more passive way, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, I just watch it as if I would watch...
Well, as a football fan,
a
you go...
Yeah. You go, there you go, I've enjoyed that. Yeah. That's something someone's made, and I've enjoyed it. Whereas the sort of weird thing of people arguing about it on Twitter... Fucking grow up.
It's only just it's just going to change to Mbappe and Haaland, isn't it? And that'll be the next thing.
Yeah, that's true. I suppose so. But and on the plus side, neither of them are quite as annoying as Cristiano Ronaldo.
Well, yeah, compared to Ronaldo, fair enough. And that's a high bar.
He is, in my opinion, a fairly dreadful human. Just, I mean, like, I've only seen the clips that have been doing the rounds on socials, you know, with the Piers Morgan interview. Mm. Just, what a prick.
He's dreadful.
Yeah.
He's quite a fascinating bloke in some ways, because he's such a talented narcissist. It's a strange sort of combo. You'd almost expect someone who's that talented, they would be content to be at the level they're at, because he doesn't really have anything left to prove, but he's pushing 40, still being like, I am still the best, Anna. Just can everyone reassure me? I am still the best.
I'm kind of like really fascinated by it. It feels quite like he's gone a bit Donald Trump almost, just like his complete grasp of reality seems to have slipped a little bit, and I'm really interested how that happens. Like,
not owning up to your own decline. But I mean, having done my old job in radio, you see it in there as well, people not realising that their time's up. That at some point you fall off the conveyor belt, because all of these things are a conveyor belt. Everything's time limited. Anything in the entertainment industry is time limited, and football is part of that. Eventually you fall off the conveyor belt and you get replaced by somebody younger and better and faster.
I'm looking forward to seeing Ronaldo's surgeries as he gets older, because he's not going to take aging with any sort of dignity, is he? He's going to have the full...
Coming out looking like Simon Cowell. Simon Cowell looks like a Thunderbird puppet.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrifying.
So yeah, that'll be fun to watch over the years with him still trying to...
Bearing down
still
on
trying
you.
To play football and still taking his shirt off into his 60s.
That weird statue looks more realistic.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Argentina, Australia, and Poland against France in the next round, which is that's the route to the final. We can start to look at those now. So that will be the quarterfinal tie, the winner of those two games.
Rasmus out. We didn't even talk about.
No, I was going to say that's so he's coming home. So is Dan James.
He's out. Sorry, because I turned on the game at halftime, the Denmark game yesterday. I thought, I'll watch Rasmus in the second half, but he'd been taken off.
Yeah,
I was going to say, is he injured? But I don't think he is. Is he?
No, I don't know. I wasn't watching that one. I'm going to say
he's coming home now anyway.
Yeah.
So that leaves us with just the Americans now, doesn't it, out there?
Yeah.
Just the two of them. Coming up then, it's Thursday today. Today's games, we've got Canada, Morocco, Croatia, Belgium in one group, and then Costa Rica, Germany, Japan, Spain in t'other.
The Spain group is quite interesting looking.
Yeah.
Just because there are a few different things that could happen in there.
Germany should beat Costa Rica.
Spain out.
Put them
on
4 points.
That'd be quite funny.
Yeah, it's...
That's what you get for not taking Rodrigo and Llorente. I suspect they'll go through, you know.
And Group F, the Croatia, Morocco, Belgium, Canada group. Canada bottoming out there. They're out, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because as you were saying the other day, Michael, you hate you hate Canadians and Canada are rubbish. Was that what you said?
That's exactly what I said, yes.
Paraphrasing a little bit.
Yep.
So it's going to be two from Croatia, Morocco and Belgium that go through there. Yeah, that should be interesting this afternoon.
Do you know what? I thought Belgium were already out, just the way they seem to have been engulfed in crisis and fighting each other and arguing with each other. I've just seen the table here and thought, oh, they're actually not all right.
Well, they did beat Canada, but they absolutely didn't deserve to, was the thing. They've basically been terrible for both games and somehow have 3 points.
And then towards the end of the week, now we'll probably come back on what day are we going to come back? It's Thursday today, isn't it? I've lost track of the days. So tomorrow's games, Ghana, Uruguay, Korea against Portugal, Cameroon, Brazil in the other group with Serbia and Switzerland as well. So Brazil through safely, and then it's going to be... Well, it's interesting, that's quite delicately poised, isn't it? If Serbia beats Switzerland, they will go through. You'd expect Brazil to beat Cameroon, wouldn't you?
But I've had all this in the Buttercup trying to work out the various things that could happen in the final group games. People have not listened to it all yet, but there's some exciting stuff to come.
There's a thing, I think, in the World Cups, I always like to see the African teams progress, because you consider a game against, and this is no offence to the Swiss whatsoever, but a game against Switzerland doesn't hold the same sort of drama and appeal as a game against Cameroon, does it? The fans contribute so much as well.
I think because we get to play Switzerland in the Euros and in qualifiers, and it's quite close. It's just
Nations
boring.
League has only added to that fatigue of it all as well.
And Ghana in the other group as well. Tony Yeboah still playing.
It's a bit like yesterday. I was kind of hoping Mexico go through instead of Poland, just because I've seen Poland.
Yeah,
I'm bored of Poland.
It's novelty value you want.
Nothing against them at all, but like
we'll get them in the next Euros draw anyway.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see them again soon. I don't get to watch Mexico much.
I did enjoy how at the end of the game, Mexico had won, scored a couple of brilliant goals. They were all in tears. Poland had lost quite and played absolutely terribly, and they were all dancing around the pitch. It's like, that's what the World Cup's about. Brilliant.
Yeah, so the confirmed knockout ties, as we mentioned before, we've got the Netherlands, States, Argentina, Australia, France, Poland, and then England, Senegal on Sunday evening.
We should beat Senegal, shouldn't we?
You would think so, yeah. On balance of probabilities and the relative abilities of the two nations, you would think so. But, you know, World Cup, innit? Anything can happen.
And I think the United States have got a decent chance against the Netherlands.
Yeah, I've been chatting to Americans about this, who have been saying, oh, like, they're good. I said, well, they are a good team, the Netherlands, but they're not perfect.
It's not a vintage Netherlands team, is it? Other than, obviously, Gakpo is the best player in the world, and he's signing for Leeds in January, which I can't wait for.
There is a lot to be said for the approach of the States, though, as well, that high-energy style. You know, we've seen a lot of it at Elland Road, haven't we? But maybe it's good for a tournament like this if they can keep their output levels up. It's hard to deal with, isn't it?
I mean, they've looked as good as anyone, I would say, so far from the bits I've seen of them. First half against Wales, they were bad.
It's the final third, though, isn't it? Like, they lack a little bit of something in the final third. If you put a striker in that, it's reminiscent of Leeds, isn't it, sometimes? Put a striker in and you might be all right.
That's Pat Bamford slander.
No, it's not. So, yeah, wrapping it up from a Leeds angle, Tyler Adams, still the greatest midfielder in the world, correct?
Looks like it.
And
I'm enjoying the fact that in the space of a couple of weeks, Leeds fans have pivoted to, we're going to sell him in January or at the end of the season, best case scenario.
I am slightly worried about all that, to be fair. Like, the way just everyone seems to be talking about him, and all, like, he's now pundits all over the world saying what a good midfielder he is, and he's appearing on Good Morning America and things like that. I just think, no, can everyone just stop talking about him, please?
He is apparently becoming quite a big star in America, because it's not the main sport over there, is it? So it's even as a international footballer, you're kind of peripheral, I think, to the general population. But
it seems to be cutting through a lot more. I mean, it might be wrong.
I think it's really growing massively, and he's apparently,
and as the captain as well.
As the captain, he's having a real moment over there. Apparently,
Pulisic was the captain before, wasn't he? And it's been given to Adams now. So
and the right choice.
Yeah, and obviously Pulisic was the golden boy, but is tainted by Chelsea. So
and has his bollocks kicked in the last game.
Yes. Oh, is that what the abdominal injury was? Eddie Nketiah?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're fully twisted.
Didn't get fully eddied.
I think the doctors have managed to disentangle them.
So he's cut off the internet access to his hotel room.
So he's going to be back, I think.
Disable his VPN.
And France after that, if we get through, probably. So that'll be good.
We'll see, won't we? We'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. With reference to Tyler Adams and central midfielders, we could see a Tyler Adams versus Mo Kamara showdown at Elland Road, because emails started going out about a friendly against Monaco at Elland Road on Wednesday, the 21st of December. Details to be fully confirmed, but nobody's yet confirmed it.
I think the email said the tickets were going on sale yesterday to season ticket holders, and it became apparent, oh no, wait, they're not on sale, and the club haven't actually confirmed this friendly yet.
Because, you know, we've been doing the TSB guides. What are we doing this week? We're doing Danny Mills
at the World Cup.
In the 2002 World Cup. Great bunch of lads there in that squad. Yeah. Well, we should do a TSB guide to, if we do play Monaco that week, we should do the Tony Yeboah game in Monaco in 1995, I'm going to say, when he scored the hat-trick, which is on YouTube, well worth a watch. So we've got a game Wednesday the 21st of December, potentially, the same day as the next round of the League Cup would have been, which we basically binned off.
I think we lost rather than binned it.
Did we? I think we binned it. No.
I think we tried to win that game.
Yeah. For a bit.
and only a bit pretending. Mm. We showed up at the party, didn't we? We weren't dancing.
When it got to the point of where you'd normally like bring a decent sub on.
Yeah, we don't have anyone.
Jesse's cheese board. We need to talk about Jesse's cheese board. You see the photo on socials of him watching the US men's national team. He's with Pierre Barrieux, I believe it's pronounced, who is the Leeds United fitness coach, sharing a sofa. And it was Jack Evans who was the first one to flag this one up with us on Twitter, saying, think this picky tea and wine needs to be discussed next pod. Is that, first of all, is that a picky tea? I don't think it is. I think that's a, it looks like nibbles to me.
I think picky tea, you've got to have bread of some sort with it. And probably like a...
fish fingers, nuggets.
What? Oh, no.
Are you going for middle class
picky
tea?
Well, if you're going continental, because I'm thinking to go with the cheese ball, you need to have some meats with it.
Yeah.
Maybe like some olives, stuffed peppers, that sort of thing.
You're going full charcuterie, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so. I don't just the cheese.
You middle class monster.
Just saying.
What have you become?
Well, I did spend
born in Wakefield and now eating olives. Fucking hell!
I did spend more time than was healthy trying to find out what type of wine he had. I was looking through. I looked up because he's in Harrogate, isn't he? And there's Waitrose in Harrogate. I thought it's probably Waitrose wine. So I was on the Waitrose website. I looked through 14 pages of bottles of wine trying to find out what he was having.
And one of those wine warehouse places there as well. That's the sort of place.
Probably. I gave up after Waitrose.
Yeah.
Because it's green, sort of green screw cap with a black band around it. But then the branding changes a bit on it. So it could be out of date. So
well,
but it looked most like, and also because he was with Pierre, I thought it's probably going to be French.
Right.
I think it looked most like a Sancerre, I think, was the nearest I could find.
Very good.
Which was, I think, Ken's drink of choice.
Although in the photo...
Oh, no, it was Puli Fume, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Although in the photo, there's Jesse and his lad seem to be having the glass of wine, not Pierre. Maybe he's not offered him a drink, I don't know.
Do we know whose house that is?
No.
Is it Jesse's or is it Pierre's?
I don't know. I mean, we've done the computer in hand here on the photo, on the sheet in front of us, just to get a look at that cheese board and the plate of crackers. There are some family photos in the background in the stairwell because the door's been left open. Maybe we could computer enhance like they do in the Hollywood movies.
Jesse's son's got bare feet actually, so it's probably Jesse's house.
He's got his claws out. You don't just get your claws out.
It's a bit out of order, isn't it, going around someone's house and getting your toes out.
Yeah, especially that near food.
Yeah, that's Jesse's house.
So on the table, if you haven't seen the photo, he's got Elf napkins, probably too many for four people, but that's fine. Bowl of nuts, the old pissy nuts.
Mm. Look like a standard peanut, I'd say.
Yep. You've got a circular slate board, which is a nice cheese board. It looks like, what's that big long thing there? Is that the corkscrew? Because you don't need one because it's a screw top wine. Is that, or is it a choppy cheesy type thing?
Is it like
a cheese corer?
I think, is it hinged on the side of the board and is it a wire cutter?
It is, I think you might be right.
You lift it and pull it down.
This sort of thing of you shopping at Home Bargains, it's all a facade, isn't it?
And we've got three cheeses on there. There's what looks like a brie or thereabouts. It's not brie dimensions, but it's got the brie rind on it.
Brie dimensional.
Yeah, brie dimensional. There's the title of the show. And then we've got what looks like a hard cheese in the foreground.
Mm.
That to me looks like they've gone for Parmesan or maybe Grana Padano if they're not wanting to push the boat out too far as your cheaper alternative, hard cheese, which is an interesting choice for a cheese board because you normally just wang it on your spag bol, don't you?
Smelly in it as well, Parmesan. Mm.
But I do like a bit of Parmesan.
I don't think Parmesan's a cheese board cheese, though.
No, I wouldn't have said so. Parmesan.
What's the Spanish one? It could be that can sometimes.
Manchego.
It could be Manchego.
Potentially. And then you've got what looks like a rindy cheese in the background, which I don't know, but it looks like it's going to have a bit of funk about it, untouched, I should say.
On the last podcast when I was talking about my French exchange trip, it's just reminded me when I went on that. Bear in mind, I was like 14 and they said, oh, do you like cheese? And I was like, oh, yeah.
Cheese
is banging. I'm thinking like, oh,
cheddar.
That's cheddar. They brought out this cheese and every bit of it smelled like anus. And I just remember thinking, not for me, this.
Smelled a lot of anus?
I can guess what was.
You know, you're familiar with the genre?
We've already discussed my French exchange trip was with a 40-year-old French builder sharing a bedroom.
I don't mind a stink. Maybe it's one of those things you get into when you're old. I mean, you're the youngest out of us. Are you into stink cheese?
Are you talking about cheese?
No.
Cheese?
Yeah. Not bunking up with exchange students. No. Smelly cheese, Rob?
I've not got into that yet. I'm not really.
Into your blue?
I'm not really a cheese guy. Do you know what? I was in the supermarket the other day and I walked past some Dairy Lee Dunkers and I was like, can I still get these or not? And I thought, I just look a bit weird if I was putting a load of them in my basket.
Yeah, I would still get them for my son, but he's 11 and you're pushing 30 now.
Yeah, that's true.
And the cracker thing. Now, this was what caught my attention most of all. I recognise that cracker set because it's fairly familiar. Like, I think it's definitely on sale in Aldi because we've had it. Wife went up to Morrison's, came back with, because she went up there the other day, came back with a box of cracker set, and it's exactly the same set of crackers. Mm-hmm. Obviously come out of the same factory, just rebranded for Morrison's, and it's got a selection of six in it. Beetroot and seed cracker, cracked pepper water cracker, and by the way, cracker has different meanings around the world. I do appreciate that. It's meant in the cheese and biscuit sense. Rosemary cracker, sea salt and chive cracker, stone ground wheat cracker, and a sweet wheat cracker. Sweet wheat is probably my least favourite there. The beetroot one's funky.
It's a bit like
good.
A digestive, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a bit too sugary.
Mm. Recommended with a white Stilton, so you're not having it, Rob. But the rosemary one is good. Can definitely recommend that. And the sea salt and chive one, also good.
That'd have been my first choice, sea salt and chive.
Yeah. And they've gone for a cheese bob with these crackers with no butter. Would you go for butter or?
Yeah, fuck it, why not? Yeah. Proper butter too.
Yeah. Not. I can't believe it's not spready stuff.
Nah.
Aldi Lurpak.
Yeah, exactly.
Dane Pack, however it's called. Yeah, love it. Love the stuff. FA Cup third round.
Yay!
Got Cardiff away.
That's good.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, really good fun. Yeah.
Another grind, another struggle, but it might be on telly, so that'll be fine.
Yeah, it was televised last time, wasn't it?
Yeah,
was it against Cardiff in the FA Cup?
If you're not a fan of a particular age or you don't remember it, whatever, you're a newer fan. That was was it 2002, that FA Cup game?
Early it was,
2002.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that essentially people look at and say, that started the decline. That was the start of it all starting to fall apart.
Yeah, we didn't win for like 2 months after that, which completely knackered our Champions League qualification. We eventually missed out by a point that season, but yeah, that was quite a pivotal moment.
We were top of the league when we went there, weren't we?
Mm.
And they were in the third tier, but it was a nice, happy atmosphere at least.
Chucking bottles of piss they were across the... This was before they went to the new Cardiff City Stadium, of course. It was in Ninian Park, wasn't it? And the away fans were netted off from the home fans. But you could still, because the net was quite big, you could probably, I think you could arc a bottle of piss through it.
I've been in that away.
And coins.
And coins definitely get through it.
Yep.
So both giving and receiving is what I saw when I was there. Coins can get through it still. But yeah, it'll be good fun with all that. What a terrible tie. Did you see the weird stats as well about how many away ties we've had in the FA Cup?
10 in a row?
Yeah, the chances were something like 0.05% or something.
One more and we've got the record, haven't we?
Yeah, it is ridiculous that we never get a bloody home game in these things.
Because it was like the Barnsley League Cup game earlier this season felt like a massive novelty because it almost feels like we never get those. It's probably not true. But
it doesn't help that we don't play many cup games either.
I was going
to
say...
to make quite a swift exit.
I meant to quip when I announced this, when I read this off the sheet, it's our annual tie.
That's the one.
In the FA Cup. But I've ruined my own joke now. Hey, when it comes to Christmas, 1st of December today, have you opened your advent calendar this morning? You're never too old to have an advent calendar, Rob.
Do you know what? I haven't got one. I remember the other year, my mum actually got me one. It was like a charity one and it didn't have any chocolate in it. And I was like,
oh my God.
I was like, Mum, I know it's for charity, but this is just not on.
you throw it out. Take that back, Mrs. Conlon.
Ask for a refund, please, off those ill children.
So you get...
get my money back.
So you get to look at a small picture. It's not...
Really crap.
Yeah, maybe in the Victorian era, a little picture might have been something to look at.
I mean,
you could have maybe had an hour on that when there was no telly.
When I was a kid, it was mostly just pictures. The chocolate thing was a later invention.
I do vaguely remember a just picture one, but I think to be honest, I think I may have been forced to have it after I'd eaten all the chocolates in one go at some point.
What, you cracked open all 24?
I think I might have done it one year, yeah. I was thinking, fuck it.
Why wait? Live for today.
Might be dead by the 25th.
Just a bleak view even as a child. You'll be with a fucking morbid obesity you're carrying around from eating all that chocolate.
Is that the turkey in the oven? Yeah. I might as well get on with it.
speaking of advent calendars and circling back to cheese, my wife has bought me a cheese advent calendar. I haven't opened the first one yet.
Is it refrigerated?
Hope so. Yeah. It is. Although the milk spilt on it the other day and I basically ruined it. So what I've got now is 24 small bags of cheese in the fridge that I need to get through.
Demystified it.
Yeah, a little bit. The magic's gone now. When it comes to Christmas, are you going to be buying a new retro shirt from the club shop?
Struggle to accept this.
Are you annoyed about this? Get it off your chest. Go on.
It's the NetFlight shirt from like 2 years ago, it feels like.
So this is the NetFlight shirt with the blue stripe next to the Leeds badge down one side of the shirt, which is just awful.
It wasn't even a good shirt at the time.
Yeah. I mean, 2 years is pushing it. I was going to say my problem with it is more that it's just a crap shirt. Yeah.
I mean, it's not even got Macron branding on it.
Which is a shame because that really elevates it.
Well, on some of the older ones, like the...
It's been made by Scordraw, I think, hasn't it? Or
Because some of the Admiral ones have got the proper branding, haven't they? But like the Umbro ones, it kind of misses something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, Macron, is it missing or not? So I did notice someone saying that it looks like the net flights will peel straight off, which is a very good replica of the original, because I do remember in the Macron era, Ellen Road was just a sea of people with bits of shirt peeling off. Like the little men used to come off the shoulders.
Yeah. Macron.
The sponsor came off. There was normally something written on the back of it that had come off.
Did Joshua say Acorn? No, it's Macron. They did. Not anymore. Right, I'll get you one of those. If we do Secret Santa here in the office, then I'll make sure to get you one of
2009's,
those.
2009's, that's not retro yet, is it?
Did we do anything notable that year?
I've got pants older than that.
Is that the Old Trafford shirt?
Yeah, that's the shirt. Scored in, right?
Ah, so we wore that one the season we got promoted, so that's why they're selling it as a retro shirt. But we actually got promoted in the next season's which was the really nice white one, wasn't it, with the round collar? Not that fucking mess.
Paddy Kisnorba bled on it.
Very true. Is that it for today then, for the World Cup diary? Anything more to add? We've chatted about cheese, we've chatted about Christmas, imprisoning people in cellars. Anything else?
No, not unless you've got anything else. Have you got a cellar?
I haven't got a cellar, no.
No, neither have I.
Got a loft.
Not that anyone knows about, anyway.
On that note... We'll speak to you next time.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.